Millions of people displaced, thousands reportedly killed, and hundreds of thousands may be on the brink of famine. The civil war in Ethiopia's Tigray region has triggered a major humanitarian crisis. This week, we ask, is the conflict attracting enough media attention? Peace talks are ongoing in South Africa. Could this be the first step towards a truce? We'll have comprehensive reporting, analysis, and your opinion. Straight Talk Africa starts now. Hello there and a warm welcome to you. I'm Heidi Adams. Thank you so much for joining me. It's a conflict that began before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a civil war in Ethiopia that is playing out here in the northern part of the country, in the Tigray region. For nearly 2 years now, fighting has raged between the TPLF, that's the Tigray People's Liberation Front, this is the party that controls the Tigray region, and the Ethiopian government's forces and their allies, including neighboring Eritrea. At the center of the war are the lives of millions of people living in the conflict zone. Now, according to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, the violence has left more than 2.6 million people internally displaced and more than 9.4 million people in desperate need of food, health services, and other essentials. Now, peace talks, sponsored by the African Union, are underway in Pretoria, South Africa. Can this meeting set the two sides on a path to peace? Linda Givtash is in South Africa for us with more.
I'm in front of the African Union's Pan-African Parliament buildings in Midrand, South Africa. The African Union is set to be holding peace talks between Ethiopian and Tigrayan leadership this week. Very little information about the negotiations has been released by the parties involved. The Ethiopian government issued a statement Monday saying a delegation had been sent to South Africa. A spokesperson for the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, also confirmed its delegation arrived. The African Union mediation team will be led by former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. The South African government says the talks will run from Tuesday to Sunday. These talks are crucial. The war in northern Ethiopia between national government forces and the TPLF spanned nearly 2 years. The United Nations, along with other humanitarian agencies, have raised alarm over the human rights abuses in Tigray. Aid has been blocked from reaching affected communities, while some convoys have been pillaged, not just for goods, but also fuel. Over 5.2 million now face severe hunger, according to the World Food Program. The UN says 26 humanitarian workers have been killed due to the conflict. The total number of civilian casualties are unknown, but estimates point to nearly 500,000 deaths. The United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken issued a statement encouraging the peace talks in order to bring an end to the civilian suffering. Blinken called for a ceasefire along with the withdrawal of Eritrean forces that have backed government forces. Whether negotiations have even started, let alone agreements being reached, remains to be seen. Linda Givtash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Well, Linda Givtash in Midrand, South Africa for us. So is the rest of the continent and the world paying enough attention to this conflict and the humanitarian crisis it has set in motion? Why is what's happening in Ethiopia so urgent and important? Well, Paul Nantuye is from the Africa Center for Strategic Studies and spoke to VOA's Africa 54 program recently about this. Here's how he explains it.
Ethiopia is a major African power, very strategically located in the Horn of Africa, close to the Red Sea, plays a huge role in regional security efforts, including counterterrorism, including stabilization efforts in Somalia. And Ethiopia has also for many years been one of the, among the top 20 fastest growing economies, not just in Africa, but the world. Ethiopia is the seat of the African Union. Ethiopia hosts many UN agencies, including the UN Commission for Africa. Ethiopia hosts some of the security infrastructure of the African peace and security architecture, and hosts numerous diplomatic initiatives, for instance, IGAD and others. So there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. And for Ethiopia to be unstable is not good for the continent.
Tulio also told us what he thinks the chances are these peace talks will actually lead to a truce.
This is an internal crisis and a power struggle within the TPLF, which was at the core of the ruling coalition. The ruling coalition, the coalition that ruled Ethiopia from the overthrow of Mengistu up to 2018, had a violent split within it, which also affected the military. So the severity of the conflict is a major reason as to why it has been very difficult to get all these sides to the table. I mean, Abiy himself grew up in the TPLF-led coalition. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that you've had multiple and in some cases competing and parallel peace initiatives coming from the external, from external partners. And when you have that, the protagonists in any conflict situation, they tend to play one mediator off the other. The third reason, Vincent, is that the parties do believe for the moment that they can achieve their objectives on the battlefield. And until you get to a situation where they believe that they can actually speak on the table in good faith, it will be very, very difficult to arrive at a truce.
As Paul Nantulia there, speaking to Africa 54's Vincent McCorry. Well, joining me to discuss this some more is Salim Solomon. She's a lead editor in VOA's News Centre. Solomon Abate is the acting chief of VOA's Amharic News Service. And joining us from Frankfurt, Germany, is Sedale Lema. She is the CEO of Jacken Publishing, the publisher of Addis Standard Publications. Welcome to all three of you. I'm so glad that you are giving me your time here on Straight Talk Africa. And Sedale, I want to start out with you and with the situation on the ground. Now, there is concern from rights groups and the international community about the humanitarian situation in Ethiopia's Tigray region, but also this aspect of Eritrea's military involvement and what the potential implications and consequences of that country's involvement is here.
Thank you, Heidi. Thanks for having me. Yes, there are now increasing concerns from the international community. We're seeing a flurry of statements about the potential atrocities that are waiting to happen. That is because the dynamics of the war has changed, and currently we have the Ethiopian army together with its allies from Eritrea and also from the Amhara, the neighboring Amhara regional state, taking control of cities and towns in Tigray, inside Tigray regional state. And the concerns are coming from the experiences of the first round of occupation and also intervention by the Eritrean forces and the Ethiopian army of Tigray. For about 10 months in darkness, what has happened remains to be seen until today. But from the little that we know, is a complete pogrom. So the concerns are based on a couple of those experiences, number one. And number two is the experience of dehumanizing language in the Ethiopian political space. If you have seen the statements released by the U.S. Holocaust Museum Center yesterday, mentions about the possibilities of atrocities because of that. Presence of dehumanizing language against the Tigrayans that runs all the way through the political system, the government media, and also individuals and all this. So concern is growing as to the repeat of the first round of atrocities that we have seen, to refer to Secretary Blinken, an ethnic cleansing happened in the Western Tigray, and also verified and corroborated information of about a massive scale of sexual violence, including sexual slavery against Tigrayan women. So these concerns are well-founded.
Solomon, this is almost always the case when a war unravels and out of control, you see all these ripple effects, of course. But now there's this talk of potential ceasefire, but the talks of potential peace, or at least that's the hope. But there was a ceasefire earlier this year that, of course, collapsed in August. Now here is another opportunity to bring these sides to the table. How serious, and given what Sedale is saying with the stories coming out, how serious and how high are the hopes that these talks could lead to real peace?
Thank you, Heidi, for inviting me first to this Africa Straight Talk Africa program. These negotiations, these talks are highly anticipated, as you know. The international community invested a lot on it, And for the last 2 years, the U.S., the U.N., the AU, the EU, and other major actors, you know, in search of this peace process, struggled a lot. They invested a lot. Now, these talks are secretive, highly secretive, and we don't hear much from there. And I don't want to guess about the outputs, how it's being handled, and the outputs of the talks. But I would like to borrow some words from the African Union Commission Chairman, Mr. Musa Faki Mohamed, that he sent, he issued, from the letter he issued yesterday. What he said was, he was further encouraged by the early demonstration of commitment to peace by the parties and seek a lasting political solutions to the conflict in the supreme interest of Ethiopia. So let's hope, as you said, there won't be fires anymore and guns would be silenced.
Oh, and are you getting the sense that, there is a real commitment on both sides to peace, because the fighting is continuing even as we're having
Both parties expressed commitment earlier, and that's why they are in Pretoria.
Salim, I want to turn to you. What do you see as if we look at what is happening on the ground and then what's going to happen at the negotiating table or could potentially happen there? How will we see what kind of complications, barriers could we possibly see to these peace talks given what's happening on the ground?
You said the key things, the key information here is what's happening on the ground. So the warring parties are saying that, you know, there's commitment to peace talks. This negotiation or peace talks have had its own starts and stops until earlier this month that there was announcement that there's going to be some sort of negotiation. But in reality, on the ground, fighting hasn't stopped. It started, there was a short lull of about 5 months, some hopes that food was getting into the Tigray region. The Tigray region has been sealed off from all sides, millions of people and stories of starvation, death by starvation, emaciated young kids, pictures of people who are experiencing extreme difficulties because of lack of medication, because of, hostility, violence. And so this is the condition that we're talking about. And so on the ground, we're seeing fights. In fact, the Ethiopian National Defense Forces are set to be, right now as we speak, controlling key cities in the Tigray region. And we're talking about the allies from the Amhara region, just regional forces, plus a militia that is enabled with the, you know, the Ethiopian forces. They're called the Fano. Also neighboring Eritrea is involved in this conflict. And so what does the prospect of peace look like on the ground? It doesn't seem like, and some have criticized Ethiopia saying that it's not going into this peace negotiation in good faith because some observers have said that they're going to win their way into a peace negotiation. The African Union has also been criticized by, you know, one of the parties, the TPLF leadership, has said that, you know, the African Union East Africa envoy, Olusegun Obasanjo, is said to be, by the leadership of Tigray, taking sides of the government. And so, you have different criticism and not quickly acting because of different factors, but so there's a lot of criticism coming from different sides.
Sedale, we often hear the saying, African solutions to African problems. Here is an opportunity for the African Union to put some weight to that. But is the African Union seen as a fair broker in this case? But I also want to ask you about the United States and the West's involvement. To what extent has the West, has the United States been involved in getting these parties to the table? And to what extent should they be involved?
Yeah, that's a very critical question. It was very disappointing for many of us to see that the African Union not only failed in stopping the guns, but also jumped into the bandwagon in narrating the government's explanation of the war. Moussa Faki, the chairperson of the African Union, was the first one to come up and say, Ethiopia has the right to protect, and what the government is doing in Tigray is a law enforcement. This was the government's narrative. And that has really put off a lot of effort by the African Union from attempting to understand the dynamics of the conflict and the war, which was already has already involved the Eritrean forces, and mass atrocities were already happening by the time Moussa Faki gave a cover to the government's operation in Tigray. So that was when the failure began, and that's why the Tigrayan leadership was expressing reservation about the impartiality of the African Union leaders, and not the institution per se. So it was a failure. But nevertheless, they have appointed the High Commissioner for the Horn, Olusegun Obasanjo, a year ago. And that also happened to be an utter failure. In 1 year time, his office did not only put up a framework for any peace negotiation, let alone silencing of the gun, which is the primary principle of the African peace and security architecture. They did not only put those things in place, they didn't even have any verification mechanism on the ground when this 5 months humanitarian truce was agreed upon. So when the parties went back to the war, we didn't know who started it. That is the lack of putting that very first step of verification mechanism on who's reneging on the promised truce that was brokered by the US. As to the international community, the US, the European Union, they have always, you know, relegated their responsibility to protect lives in Tigray and also in this war to the African Union. They actually delegated it to the African Union. And that is why you hear them today saying, African Union led peace process. Nobody wants to take initiative, ownership of the peace talks. They relegated that to the African Union. And they're literally scared of enforcing any mechanism of stopping the war, the right. shooting itself. But the US has been trying, but unsuccessfully again, because there has been an overlap of interest with the African Union itself. So it has been a complete failure so far. It is 2 years of misunderstanding.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, just let you know, we ran a quick poll on Facebook and we asked our followers whether they think the Ethiopian peace talks will be successful. And Aaron Akaviri Atini says, for peace to prevail in Ethiopia, the TPLF leadership and all Tigrayans, mostly the elites, need to accept that they lost power to Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and humbly join him and work with him for a better Ethiopia. Shita Gobeze says, draft a new constitution based on Ethiopian culture, tradition and custom that accommodates and treats everyone as equal. And Munir Legese believes that an independent referendum should come into place for the people of Tigray to choose their fate, either to stay within Ethiopia or form a Tigray state. Thank you so much for sharing your opinion. And of course, we did a poll and we asked that same question to our followers. 70% said yes, they believe the talks will be successful, and 30% said no. Of course, these are not scientific. These are just taking the temperature of our followers. Salem, Solomon and Sedale, please stay with me here. We'll continue our conversation right after the break. And we'll ask, why does this conflict seem to get less global media attention than, say, the war in Ukraine? Some say it's because this one is happening in Africa. But is there more to it than that? We'll discuss this issue when we come back. Don't go away. Straight Talk Africa. We'll be back in a moment.
Go.
You're with Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Welcome back. My guests and I are discussing the civil war in Ethiopia. And what you're going to look at now are images taken from space by NASA showing how Ethiopia's northern Tigray region has practically faded into darkness since the conflict began. The region has suffered from crippling power cuts over the past 20 months. The United Nations, the African Union, the United States and others have warned that the resurgence of heavy fighting could deepen the humanitarian crisis in the region. But why does it seem like this conflict is perhaps not capturing the same level of global attention and international media coverage as the war in Ukraine? Sedale, journalists have not really had access to Tigray since around June last year. Most communications in the region are cut off. How hard is it for journalists, especially in the international media, to report on the extent of the conflict and the humanitarian crisis?
Heidi, this is a very, very important question. But we need to really peel the layers to understand why Tigray's war is not getting enough attention. From the very beginning, this war was being fought in darkness. The first thing that the federal government did was cut off all communication, connections to road, through road, air communication, telecom, everything. So the war was being fought in darkness from the very beginning. The number two aspect is that there was a very, very intense attempt and also measure by the government to criminalize truce and come after massive crackdown against journalists. This was accompanied throughout this war. And the other aspect is there is an instrumentalization of government propaganda. You know, you seal off the entire region, which houses 7 million Tigrayans. And then the only information that you think is acceptable for the world is the one that's coming from you. Any other information is criminalized. You wanted to say anything for the local journalists, you are a pro-TPL. If you are a junta, a junta, you are a terrorist, you know, you cannot even tell the simplest pain of humanitarian crisis without being labeled a pro-TPLF. So there is a criminalization of factors and instrumentalization of propaganda. As to the international community, I think, you know, it would be hard to say that the international media has also been hard pressed. Yes, but it's disingenuous to say that they have also ignored it. I don't know what would have happened if it was not for the international media. The little that we know today came from the international media mostly, when the local media is completely disabled, completely criminalized to report about Tigray. And you wanted to do that, you take your chances to do it. So it's the little we get is coming from the international media, and we're very much thankful for that. Does it mean that the story is getting the attention it deserves? Not at all. Not at all. But it's compounded by the challenge that I described to you earlier, but also others, you know, lack of interest. What is Ethiopia for the international media? You know, you're just one click of interest for most of the international media. So a lot of things compound the lack of coverage.
This is such a complicated issue. And I'm talking as someone from the outside of this. I didn't grow up in the politics and the history of this and reporting on it, and especially when we're so far away and it's hard to get information. Solomon, we are the international media here at the Voice of America. The complexities and the history and the politics, it makes it really hard to wrap your mind and your arms around the story. Is that a perception on the part of people who don't really have deep insight into this? Or is this just generally a very hard story to cover?
You see, Heidi, I would like to speak to the facts rather than stating my personal opinion or my conclusions. There are two divided outlooks, opinion, you know, regarding the involvement of the international community and media at all in this situation. On one side, there are who criticize the international media and the international community for not involving enough in this crisis situation. However, the White House spokeswoman, Karen Jean-Pierre, just yesterday or the day before yesterday, dubbed this crisis as one of the worst in the world. So it requires enough attention. And those who say that the international involvement is too high, say Ethiopian, this is Ethiopian internal affair, so the international community should limit itself only supporting the peace process and pushing the parties to come to an agreement to a ceasefire. And those who say that is not enough have an opinion that the international community has failed to support the Ethiopian people, support the people of Tigray, and stop all the sufferings, all the killings, and the provision of the humanitarian assistance, as earlier Salim stated. So, on the Ethiopian government side, it always jumps to the African Union. It says African problems should be solved by the African, the Africans, and it should be led Ethiopian-led peace negotiations or peace efforts. This is what we hear from the other parties. Regarding the international media or the attention of the media, there was a time, you know, where every single media outlet in the world, you can go to the web and search crisis in Tigray or crisis in Ethiopia. I don't think there you can find, you know, a single media outlet that didn't report for the last 2 years. 2 years, not 20 months, 24 months shy of only 1 week since this crisis has started. But lately, it was somehow undermined by, overtaken by the situation in Eastern Europe. And in fact, it requires more attention, more emphasis, and the authorities in Ethiopia accuse the international media of siding with TPLF, including VOA, by the way, with TPLF, but we try to balance from all sides. But there is fear still inside Ethiopia. You know, there are some, you know, with some kind of conviction, but there is some level of fear.
And I just want to bring Salim in. We do not have a lot of time, Salim, about a minute and a half. Can you give me your take on this?
Yes, the situation in Tigray is not really getting enough attention, simply because, you know, when you think about the war in Ukraine, for instance, you know, there are different factors that are not like what's going on in Tigray. You have a smaller nation being invaded by Russia, a much larger country. Also, there's a nuclear threat. So when you're thinking about the Western media, obviously proximity plays in part. Huge part, unlike what the war in Tigray can play. But, you know, the weaponization, as Adala said, the weaponization of journalism itself is very, very concerning in Ethiopia. Also, not criminalization, but also weaponization. In Ethiopia, there's a lack of media literacy because if you report on a certain issue, you have to take a side in the eyes of what they perceive what journalism should be doing. And that's a problem. Those who parrot government propaganda are said or seen as having the interest of Ethiopia, as opposed to, you know, even if you speak to the TPLF sometimes, criminalization. You spoke to what the parliament designated as terrorist group. And so it was very, very contentious to report it. But there's also a government-imposed blackout, as you saw in the satellite. You know, the little information that we get, we have stringers in Tigray, for instance, for us filing, using little satellite connection that they can get, filing us stories of airstrikes. This is the government using drones on its own people. Okay, so we've reported several reports about civilian casualties. We're talking about children being victimized, IDPs, internally displaced people who were displaced from previous, hostility, now being victims. So this is the nature in which that we're reporting on. Very difficult.
Well, this is a story we're going to keep our eye on. It's ongoing, of course. Sadale Lema, Salim Solomon, and Solomon Abate, thank you to all of you for joining me here on Straight Talk Africa. That, of course, is a wrap on our part. You can follow VOA's African news coverage on our website at voaafrica.com. That's also where you'll find all other episodes of Straight Talk Africa. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.